Good afternoon. We'd like to welcome everyone to our Sunday afternoon worship service here at Beach Hill. As we announced this morning, Sammy Ford, Randy Grisham, Bob Simpson, Cliff Orman, and Joe Hayes are continuing to recover from surgery. We were glad to have Cliff, Brother Randy, and Bob back here with us this morning. Ronald Stroop's surgery is scheduled for October 21st. Dr. Tommy Simpson continues to recover at home after radiation and chemo treatments. Clay Beatty has been diagnosed with leukemia and is discussing a treatment plan with his doctors. Allie Ray Barkley will have major kidney surgery on Monday in Orlando, Florida. Anna Hurst is in the ICU in Corinth, and Lennox Kennemore continues to receive treatment for leukemia at St. Jude. I've got a note here that we read this morning. Galatians 6, chapter 2 tells us, carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. We know that you have been carrying that burden with us, and we have felt the relief from you all, so willingly and lovingly being there for us over the past few months. This past week, we've received a troubling diagnosis and prognosis for Theo. While we do not know what lies ahead, we do know this. God has blessed us richly, and God has blessed us with all of you. Thank you for the continued prayers, texts, and calls. Also, thank you so, so much for the gifts you have so generously given us. We miss you all, and we love you all so much. God is good. Winston, Mallory, and Theo. Let's continue to remember Theo and Mallory and Winston in your prayers. Theo remains in the NICU at Le Bonheur. You are invited to the wedding of Brianna Davis Gillard and Luke Hobson Saturday, August 27th at 5 o'clock p.m. at the Chapman Church of Christ, and a reception to follow. We'd like to remind everyone that tonight at 5 p.m. there will be a youth event at the Ripley Church of Christ. Our bus will leave here at 4:30 p.m. and there will be a meal and games to follow. This afternoon, Alan Grady will have our opening prayer. Ken Simpson will have our closing prayer. At the appropriate time, Brother David Light will have another lesson from God's Word. Would you all take a songbook or view the television screens as Stacy Simmons leads us in our singing?
Number 673. We'll sing the first and last verse of 673.
There's a land that is fairer than any, and by faith we can see it afar. For the Father looks over the way to prepare us a dwelling place there. In the sweet by and by, and last verse of 5:2-4. I've a home prepared where the saints abide, just over in the glory land.
Kind and loving Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for the day, for the opportunity and the freedom we've had to come and worship you today. We're thankful that so many have taken advantage of this. We realize there are many more that would love to be here, but due to health issues, they cannot. We want to pray for each one of these. We pray for those that have surgery upcoming, tests, treatment, be with them, but we're so thankful for those that have recovered and are home and will soon be back with us again. Dear God, our school has started again back. We're thankful for this. We ask you to be with the administration, our teachers, and especially our students. We know life can be rough on these young people, and we pray that they will look to you for guidance and for answers to make them have a good transition in their school year. Help us to be good examples to them as they look to us as parents and grandparents. And most of all, we want to live the kind of life that people that are not Christians can look at us and see how we handle situations, because many times we're the only Bible that they ever read. We want to do the best that we can in handling situations, because we understand that obstacles and hurdles come to each one of us. We look to you for guidance and comfort. We know that we don't understand how people can go through life that don't know you. We know that, dear God, our country needs help. We pray for guidance, that they will turn to you as leaders and seek what they can do to get answers to situations that we need to make our country get back to Christianity again. But most of all today, we're so thankful for the gift that you gave to us. We pray that we'll live our lives, that heaven can be our home one day. Forgive us of our sins. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Number 239. We'll sing the first and last verse of 239.
Angry words, all that can never from the tongue unbridled sin. May the heart that's impulse ever check the merits of the lips. Love one another, trust in the Savior.
Song will be number 417. Number 417.
Thank you, Stacy, and thank you, Alan, for your prayer. Well, good afternoon. Wow, we still got a great crowd. Thank you for being here. And what about that dinner? Isn't that great?
Amen.
Y'all haven't gotten so fancy that you call that lunch, have you? Where I'm from, it's dinner and supper. All right, there you go. Okay, well, now we got one rule this afternoon and one rule only. You ready? No sleeping. I can't sleep, you can't sleep. Okay? All right. Have you got your Bibles? May I see them again? Okay. Some of you do, some of you don't. See the elders, they'll get you one. Can't afford it. Okay. All right, turn your Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12. I'm going to try to give you a little time back. I know Harry Ward back there is probably saying, yeah, right. But anyway, I'm going to do my best. 1 Timothy 4 and verse 12. And Alan, your prayer was so appropriate. We have not even talked, you know, about my lesson or anything this afternoon. When you were praying and emphasizing that we should be examples. And that's what my lesson's about this afternoon. Listen to Paul to Timothy. Let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. All right, so we're going to allow the Holy Spirit to be the outline of our lesson this evening. An example simply means that which is to be followed. It's kind of like that point I was making in 1 Peter 2 and 21, you know, this morning, where here in 2 where you call, because Christ suffered for us, leaving us an example. It's something to go by. It's a pattern. It's a model. And so Timothy is told here to be an example. First of all, an example to the believers. And you just think about it. We can either be examples to believers or examples to unbelievers. Isn't that right? Here he says, be an example to the believers. And that's very important, you know, for us to remember. We can either be an influence for good or an influence for bad, but we can't have it both ways. The Lord said in Matthew 12 and 30, he that is not with me is against me, and he who gathers not with me scatters abroad. And Matthew 6 and 24, no man can serve two masters. Either he'll hate the one, love the other, or else he'll hold of the one and despise the other. And so we can be examples for good, or we can be examples for bad, but we can't have it both ways. Or, speaking of dinner, we can't have our cake and eat it too, right? Okay. All right, you ready? What was the first thing that he said? Be an example in what area? Talk to me. Can you read? Word. Brother Dan's the only one that can read. Bless your heart. Okay, you don't want to give a lot of love to a speaker, do you? Okay, I get it. I've had it before. All right, now. So we should be examples in word. Are our words important? Let me show you how important our words are. You ready? You know the Ten Commandments. All of you know those, I'm sure. You know, number one, no other gods before you. Number two, no graven image. What's number three? You must not, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Okay? That's about our word. Number four, remember the Sabbath. Number five, honor your mama and daddy. Six, you shall do no murder. Number seven, you shall not commit adultery. Number eight, you shall not steal. Number nine, you shall not bear false witness. And then number 10 is you shall not covet. So, Tony, two of the Ten Commandments deal with our words. That seems to me to be pretty significant that God in heaven gave 10 commandments and he said, I want to have two of them dealing with our mouth. Okay? And then another passage I thought of is Proverbs 6, 16 through 19. Now, you ready? These six things does the Lord hate? Yea, seven are an abomination. Okay, so here you go. A proud look. Number two, a lying tongue. Hands that shed innocent blood. A heart that devises wicked imaginations. Feet that be swift in running to mischief. And a false witness that speaks lies. And he who sows discord among brethren. Now think about that. Seven things. How many dealt with the tongue? A lying tongue, a false witness, and sowing discord among brethren. You sow discord with our words for the most part. So it's interesting to me that of the seven things that God hates, three of them have to do with our words. So that underscores to me the importance of our words. And we have all made mistakes with our words. I've made mistakes, Lord knows. As much as I run my mouth, I've made a lot of mistakes. And I repent of it and try to do better. But it's an area in which we've really got to be careful. Jesus said it this way, where Matthew 12, 34 and following. O generation of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. But I say to you that every idle word you shall speak, you shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Our words are pretty important, aren't they? Colossians 4, 6, let your speech be always with grace. Ephesians chapter 4 and 29, let no corrupt speech come out of your mouth. And two of my favorites, 1 Peter 3, 10 and 11, he who will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. Number one, we must be good examples in word. That's something for us to shoot for, isn't it? Always be examples in word. Number two, what did he say? Be an example in conduct. That's the New King James. So have you got the King James? Yes? May I see your hands? I have a few. I had an alligator wave this morning there, Miss Madden. Okay, we got one. Okay. The King James says, be an example in word. And number two, it says conversation. Am I right? Am I right about that? Do I see a nod? Anybody? Okay, I see a few. They're weak, but I'll take it. Okay. Now, the first time I read that was kind of confusing to me, Dan, because I thought, well, it says be an example in word, and then it says be an example in conversation, and I'm thinking, hello, that's the same thing, isn't it? You know, word, conversation. But the word actually is the Greek word, and I have it. I could give it to you, but I know you don't care. And so about that particular point, and so I won't do it. But the word translated conversation in the King James Version means conduct. It means manner of life, way of living. Okay? So what he's saying here is be an example in conduct. In conduct. Now that makes sense, doesn't it? See, he's covered our mouth in the first place. Now he's going to talk about our conduct. It may well be that we influence more in this area than any other area of our life. Philippians 1, 27. Only let your way of life, Paul says, be such as it becomes the gospel of peace, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. So Brother Paul is saying, listen, folks, whether I come see you or whether I'm on the other side of the ocean somewhere and I hear about you, I want to hear that your conduct is, you know, the way it ought to be. Wasn't that a great verse? Memorize it. Philippians 1, 27. And then 1 Peter 3, 1 and 2. I may have mentioned this in the sermon this morning. I can't remember. Likewise, you wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they may also without the word be won by the chaste. Listen to it. Are you listening? By the chaste. King James says conversation, but we know now it means what? Chaste conduct. By the chaste conduct of their wife. I know, I remember now, we did mention that, didn't we? So what that's saying is, for an unbelieving husband, his first introduction to the gospel is not him just sitting here reading these words. His first introduction is the good conduct of his wife. Isn't that wonderful? Do you know the name Johnny Ramsey? You elders know? Don does? Josh? Y'all heard those names? Johnny Ramsey, great gospel preacher, Texas. Friend of mine, I knew him. He's now gone to his reward. And he told this for a true story. He said that there was this lady who was a faithful member of the church. And she had, I can't remember now, two or three children. But her husband hated the church. Hated it. Hated the church. And not only did he hate the Lord's church, but he tried to impede her service. And so he was so angry one day that he took a gun, according to Brother Ramsey, and pointed it to his wife one Sunday morning and said, "You're not going to church today." What do you think about that? And she looked in the end of a barrel. And she said, "Well, if you pull that trigger, I'm going to go to church. If you don't pull it, the girls and I are going to go to church." What do you think about that? Well, wouldn't that make a person melt? And I think eventually, you know, he obeyed obeyed the gospel. You know, there are some people that hinder, you know, hinder our work. They hinder our beliefs. You may know of this case. I went to school with a beautiful young lady who's now passed on. But I remember I sat right behind her in 2 years of Latin at high school. And she and her sister and her mama, faithful, dedicated Christians. But her daddy hated the church and refused to put running water in their house because they were members of the church. Always threatened, I'll put running water in and I'll put a bathroom in if you'll leave the Church of Christ. What do you think they did? They stayed faithful. So that's what we got to do. I can't imagine myself, a father, you know, doing that to his family. But we've got to be great examples. And then as Paul said in 2 Corinthians 3 and 2, you are an epistle written in our hearts, known and read of all men. So tomorrow, today, when people see our lives, they draw conclusions, don't they? Sure they do. Or the way we behave, they draw conclusions. And so, are you like me sometimes? You know, you get cut off, just things happen to you in traffic that you want to roll your window down and kind of be the person that you don't need to be. Have you been tempted like that? We can't do things like that. We got to be good examples. We have to defer to others in traffic, in grocery lines, you know, places where we get stressed out. 285 or 85 around Atlanta, right? Just avoid it. That's my goal in life. But at any rate, we got to be good examples in conduct. Number three, what is it? Be an example in love. Okay, turn your Bibles, you have them, to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. You know I would go there. You cannot talk about love without going to 1 Corinthians 13. Actually, 1 Corinthians 13 is one of the three chapters that deal with spiritual gifts. Chapter 12 lists the gifts. Chapter 13 tells how long the gifts will last. And chapter 14 has to do with the regulation of the gifts. But here's what Brother Paul says, beginning in verse number 4. Love suffers long. What does that mean? It's patient. It's patient. Love is kind. Kind. You know what kindness means? If you're a kind person, the derivation of the word conveys the idea of being able to put people at ease in your company. People feel comfortable being with you. If you're a kind person, other people who are with you as they engage in your having a relationship with you, they feel comfortable. They're at ease. And so love is kind. Love does not envy. Do you have neighbors who maybe, you know, they had a better car, they got a better house, they got a better this or better that? What is our attitude? We're happy for them, right? Of course we are. We're happy, you know, for the blessings that other people have that perhaps are more than our blessings. So it does not envy. It does not parade itself. It's not haughty. It's not arrogant. It's not puffed up. It does not behave rudely. It does not seek its own. It's not provoked. It thinks no evil. Thinks no evil. What should be our thoughts about one another? I want to think the best about you. I want you to think the best about me. When I come to your mind, I want you to have good thoughts. When you come to my mind, I want to have good thoughts. See, it thinks no evil. I'm not going to say, yeah, I know that guy. You know, I wonder what he's up to now. You know, that kind of, see, we don't want to do that. Thinks no evil. And let's see. Does not rejoice in iniquity. Rejoices in the truth. I love verse 7. Bears all things. Wow. What about in a marriage relationship? Bearing all things. Sometimes that's tough, isn't it? Believes all things. See, we hope the best. we hope the best for one another. I'm going to believe the best about you. You know, if someone were to say to me, well, you know, so-and-so is, let's see, I'm going to pick on somebody. Okay, I'm going to pick on you, Tony. Someone says to me, you know, Tony Parise, he is just a dog. Okay? He's done this, he's done that. You know what my attitude's going to be? I don't believe it. I'm going to say, I know Tony, and I don't believe that. And I'm going to remain convinced in my personal beliefs until there's incontrovertible evidence to the contrary. See what I'm saying? That ought to be our attitude toward one another, isn't it? See, we want to believe the best, you know, about somebody. And then notice it says, hopes all things and endures all things. It never fails. God helps us to be examples in love. Number four, it says to be an example in what? Spirit, isn't it? In spirit. This is debated as to exactly what Paul is saying about being an example in spirit. I'm going to take it to mean to influence in spirit means to give ourselves wholly to God, completely to God. To like Matthew 22:37 says, love the Lord your God with all of your heart, your mind, your soul, and your spirit. To completely give ourselves, you know, to the Lord. To never be half-hearted in our efforts. You know, that was a big problem with the church at Laodicea, wasn't it? Revelation 3, y'all with me now? Wake up. I know your works that you're neither cold or hot. I wish you were either cold or hot, and so because you're lukewarm, I will spew you. Literally, the word means to vomit you out of my mouth. Because you say, I'm rich and I'm increased of goods and I have need of nothing, but you don't know that you're wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Let me tell you what the Lord wants. The Lord wants us either to be on fire for Him or to be completely, you know, cold for Him. He doesn't want half-heartedness. You know, we just don't like half-heartedness, do we? We want someone, you know, to be energetic. We want to witness some enthusiasm, right? You know, when you shake hands with someone, you want to feel like that someone is sincerely greeting you, that they're really happy, you know, to shake your hand. Who wants to shake this hand? You see, I had a guy one night, he just, like that. I said, what are you doing, crazy thing? You want me to kiss your hand? Forget it. And then I've had other people, they'll grab just the end of my finger. You had that before? I had that happen the other day. Fellow just grabbed in my fingers. And I said, whoa. I literally did. I didn't know who he was. I said, whoa. I said, I want to get on in there. I said, can we do that again? And I shoved her on my feet. Play out the way I like to do it. I don't want somebody to give me a dead fish, you know, for a handshake. See, you've never heard anybody say, oh, I love that preacher. He's so boring. You've never heard that. You've never heard anybody say, I love being around them because they are just so depressed. You haven't heard that before. We don't say things. That's just craziness. But you have heard, wow, I like to be around him. I feel better. I've been encouraged. I like to be around her. She has a good outlook on life. She's positive. You see, that's what God wants us to be, isn't it? He wants us to be people who are examples in spirit. Okay, He wants us to be an example in faith. We got to have faith at all times. Faith in God. We've got to believe that God is in control. We've got to have faith that God's going to take care of us. All right about that? We've got to have faith that God still hears our prayers. You know, the Bible says in James 1, beginning at verse 5, if any of you lack wisdom, then ask of God, who gives to all men liberally and upbraid not, and it will be given. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he wavers like a wave of the sea, tossed to and fro by the wind. Let not that man think that he will receive anything of the Lord. Watch verse 8. A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. So when you pray, do you pray in faith? Or do you pray and then you have sort of that old devil, you know, sneaking in there and saying, well, you know, he's not really listening to you anyway. You ever had that before? I have. The old devil will try to creep in there and say, well, you know, that's not going to come to pass or whatever. We can't have that. Again, we got to ask in faith, nothing wavering. We got to be firm and steadfast. Listen to the announcements that have been made today and listen to the prayers that have been uttered. And God, help us to pray more today and tomorrow and other days for, you know, these people that have been announced who are struggling and others that we don't know about, but we need to pray in faith. And then finally, be an example in purity. We talked about that in our lesson on the home. Suffice it to say that we've got to keep ourselves pure. I did not say anything, however, about purity in the areas of motives. I focused on purity in actions, but we also must be pure in our motives. Have you seen the series The Chosen? Seen that? Very good, isn't it? I think it really presents the Lord in a way that the disciples and others, you know, saw him. You know, some of it, you know, it's not, you know, exactly, you know, accurate. A guy came up to me the other day and he asked me about that fellow that was following, Simon the Zealot, you know, who was about to commit that murder. And he was watching him to ensnare him, and this man came to me and said, is that in the Bible? And I said, well, not explicitly. But the police were watching for zealots all the time. They were constantly looking for people who were trying to, you know, overthrow Rome. And so I said, it is a historical fact, but you're not going to find in the Bible. Simon the Zealot was followed by whatever, Jimmy Joe, whatever that guy's name was. I don't remember. It wasn't Jimmy Joe, but it was somebody, right? I'm sure it was a Latin, you know, name. But our motives have got to be pure. The point I was wanting to make, was it not evidenced in that series how hypocritical the Pharisees were? I mean, we know the Bible says it, right? But then to see it, you know, presented to us, you know, how they just, wow, we can't get over this guy being, you know, being healed. I mean, the very idea, you know, taking up your pallet and walking away, you know, you violated article number 39 of the Shabbat. You can't be doing that. Did they give a flip about the fact that he'd been lame for 38 years? I mean, is there one human being that could have said, yay? No, they were hypocritical. Their motives were not pure. So God help us to have pure motives. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 1 as we close. 1 Peter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15 and 16. But as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Why? Because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. Listen to me.
We are the most blessed people ever. And usually when you hear that, we're thinking about being in America, physical blessings and so forth and so on. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about spiritual blessings. Because of the providence of God, I'm able to be here today. I was raised in an alcohol home. It was only because someone showed my mom and daddy the Jewel Miller film strips that we ever heard anything about the Lord Jesus. And so we're blessed to be in this family, aren't we? This family, this Christian family. Never take that for granted. And so help us to remember, Lord, that we are your children and we are in your image and that we have had our sins washed by the blood of your dear Son. And because you, our Father, is holy, you help us to be holy also. That's what it's saying. See, I'm supposed to be a holy person. Why? Because I'm a child of the King. And my Father is holy. And I'm supposed to be like him. Amen?
We're going to sing the invitation. If there's anything that we can help you with this afternoon, please let us know as we stand and as we sing.
Presence here this afternoon. To our visitors, please come back in any opportunity that you may have. We're especially grateful to Brother Light for the good messages that he has brought us today. If there are one or more present that have not had the opportunity to partake of the Lord's Supper, it is prepared across the hall to my right. You may be dismissed at this time. Our closing song will be number 631. We'll sing the first verse only of 631, followed by our closing prayer.
O Lord my God, when I some wonder, consider the world's mind and have made, I see the stars, I hear the
Father in heaven, we're grateful to thee for this day, thankful for your love, thankful that we could come here this Lord's Day to worship thee, the only true and living God, to hear a lesson from your servant David, who spoke to us from your holy word. We pray that you'll help our faith to always be strong, help us to be good examples to those around us. Forgive us when we falter. We ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.